You're listening to The Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates. Online at thelibertybeat.com. John Bush here with your Liberty Beat for February 6th, 2013. Gold opened today at $1,676, silver at $31.89, and Bitcoin is trading at $20.92. Today's edition of the Liberty Beat is sponsored by Central Texas Gunworks, specializing in handgun defense training, concealed handgun courses, and firearm sales. Online at centraltexasgunworks.com. And now the news. Uncomfortable with the Obama administration's use of deadly drones, a growing number in Congress is looking to limit America's authority to kill suspected terrorists, even U.S. citizens. The Democratic-led outcry was emboldened by the revelation in a newly surfaced Justice Department memo that shows drones can strike against a wider range of threats with less evidence than previously believed. The drone program, which has been used from Pakistan across the Middle East and into North Africa to find and kill an unknown number of suspected terrorists, is expected to be a topic of debate when the Senate Intelligence Committee grills John Brennan, the White House's pick for CIA chief, at a hearing Thursday. Too much drama? Boredom and scads of irrelevant information are just some of the reasons Facebook users give for taking a break from the world's biggest social networking site for weeks at a time, according to a new study. A report from the Pew Research Center's Internet in America Life Project found that some 61% of Facebook users had taken a hiatus of at least several weeks for myriad of reasons, whether they were wary from an onslaught of gossip or, for the more pious, the arrival of Lent. Yet the use of Facebook, whether constant or not, is pervasive in America. Of the American adults who use the Internet, 67% are on Facebook, Pew found. That compares with 20% who use LinkedIn and 16% who are on Twitter. Charlottesville, Virginia has become the first city in the United States to formally pass an anti-drone resolution. The resolution passed by a 3-2 vote and was brought to the city council by activist David Swanson and the Rutherford Institute, a civil liberties group based in the city. The measure also endorses a proposed 2-year moratorium on drones in Virginia. Personal information of some 4,000 people in the banking industry, including bank officers, was posted online Sunday by the hacker collective Anonymous. The list was initially posted to the website for the Alabama Criminal Justice Information Center, then apparently taken down by that site's operators. The ACJIC did not respond to a request for comment about the incident. However, the list was also posted elsewhere online and remains available through Google's WebCache. The Liberty Beat is sponsored in part by Sovereign Living, illuminating your path to self-sufficiency. Online at sovereignliving.tv. And by Brave New Books, specializing in free-thinking material for free people since 2006. Online at bravenewbookstore.com.
You're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia. Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 29th of January 2014, and we are kicking off another show. This week I'm going to be looking at the sensitive issues of politics in Australia. I want to talk a little bit about the phenomenon of the left and right paradigm, the way in which people are co-opted and somewhat mind-numbed by the constant swinging between so-called conservative and so-called progressive or liberal governments in so-called Western democracies. We've been saying for a long time on this show that that is nothing more than a tactic to kind of put you off guard while the criminals continue to rob you and continue their program of gaining control more and more of every aspect of your life until they will reach the final goal of their psychopathic endeavors, to turn your society into a totalitarian, fascist, psychopathic regime, which will end up imploding on itself, as they all do, before finally restoring the principles of freedom and truth, which are the essential and universal values of humanity. Your society, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, is in the downward curve of a periodic cycle that has happened throughout civilization, of rise and fall of civilizations, and we're in the downward curve of the current phase of civilization that we've been in, and we're heading towards collapse, we're heading towards tyranny, we're heading towards all kinds of problems and disasters. But understand, that has been the pattern, and if you look at that pattern and you study it, you realize that there is always an up curve that comes at some point after we bottom out. Now, of course, my hope is that we bottom out sooner rather than later. My hope is that we do not end up sinking into a medieval dark age that spans several centuries. But to get back to the political situation and the crises that are sort of unfolding on the table right now in Australia. When we first started doing this show back in 2008, we had a newly elected Labor government, which was led by Kevin Rudd. And if you listen to this show over that period of time from, say, when we first started till last year, you would have perhaps come to the conclusion that we are a conservative program, that we are right-wing, because we've been pretty constantly attacking the Labor government and certainly found many, many things wrong and many, indeed, intrinsic and systemic features of that government and governance to be worthy of our deepest scorn. But of course, before the resurgence of the Labor Party, I was equally vehement against the previous incumbent government, which had been in power for 12 years prior to that, led by John Howard. And, you know, for those who have only sort of come across Truth News and haven't understood what my perspective might have been in those previous years, let me make it very clear that that I was right up there with those who believe that John Howard is a war criminal, ladies and gentlemen, a war criminal who really should be, if there was any justice, before the International Criminal Court for the invasion of Iraq. And he shares that distinction with Tony Blair and George Bush. And, you know, we see there George Bush was a conservative, as they say, in the United States. He was a Republican. Tony Blair was a Labour Party man, a progressive, a liberal, as you would call it, in the UK. And, of course, John Howard was a conservative in Australia. But they all collaborated together in that crime against humanity, which was the invasion of Iraq. And I do stipulate it was a crime against humanity, as was the invasion of Afghanistan. And it has led to mass casualties, starvation, social chaos. All of the things that we genuinely associate with crimes against humanity have actually occurred in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and of course in neighboring countries in the Middle East, there are new crises unfolding which are being supervised with the same attitude and by the same mentality from Western powers. And so I advance this to you in order to make it quite clear that there is no alliance, there is no allegiance in this show towards either the left or right of politics. We have scorn, and we share our scorn quite equally between both sides of politics. My feeling about it is that the entire strata of society which is occupied with governance, and that actually includes corporate governance as well. And indeed, you'll see most people in government have a revolving door with large corporations. So we really should just refer to them as the corporate government. They are, as a class, a particularly poisonous, particularly wicked, depraved bunch of people. And I think it's endemic. I think it's generational. I think a lot of these people have been bred into it. Some of them, of course, have come to it by clawing their way up from the sort of lower ranks of society. And the ones that have clawed their way into it tend to be motivated by the sort of passions that that are typical of those who crave power. So let me now, you know, with no further ado, basically make it clear that I am no fan of the Abbott government in Australia, the Abbott government which was elected in September of 2013. The honeymoon period is certainly over now, and we are now seeing that they are revealing their agenda to be just another version, a slightly different take on the pattern, but really they are reporting to the same bosses. They are following the same core agendas. And a couple of topics on that theme that I want to address in this show are firstly the treatment of asylum seekers and the way in which the whole debate over immigration is approached in Australia. I want to look at and I want to put a very harsh searchlight on the way in which the Abbott government has dramatised and turned the theme of people smugglers and asylum seekers into a political tool, just like all the previous governments before them have done. I also want to talk about the issues of the revelations about the spying scandals that Australia has been involved in, which were released to the public in that trove of information that came from Edward Snowden, which is of extreme importance for humanity. And I want to reflect on the way in which our government has basically poo-pooed the incredible importance and the incredible service to humanity that that is represented by those leaks from Edward Snowden. And I want to talk about how the position of the Abbott government, which actually dovetails very nicely with Julia Gillard, is simply to prop up the powers that be, to suck up to the organisations like the NSA in the United States, and you know, basically show them that that we are their willing slaves and will always do their bidding. And further in today's show, I would like to talk a little about climate change. I'm going to play you a debate that I picked up while browsing the Facebook feeds today, and an interesting little debate that was on Fox News, which I think highlights some of the more obvious confusions and really lack of deep logical thought, deep logical thinking processes that you see in those who advocate climate change. And particularly, I'd like to also refer to the incredibly disastrous and somewhat hilarious ship of fools that got stranded in the ice there down in the Southern Ocean, who were on an expedition to determine why the ice was all melting in Antarctica. And of course, that belief that the ice is melting in Antarctica is intrinsic, is fundamental, it's a core belief of all those who embrace alarmist views about climate change. And of course, you know, they went down there to really investigate why that ice is disappearing. And of course, they got caught in in massive amounts of ice that stranded their ship and then revealed that their expedition was very, very poorly planned. They didn't actually have an escape option, and the rescue costs are astronomical that were required to get these actual tourist scientists off the boat. And when I say tourist scientists, what I mean is the expeditionaries on this ship, although they did have scientific degrees, well, some of them were actually higher degree students, some of them were graduate students, and they had actually paid to have berths on the ship. So it was kind of a science tourism project, which would have been a PR stunt for those organisations which are constantly trying to raise the bar on hysteria about climate change. And of course, the sea ice in the Southern Ocean was unusually high this year, and indeed it has been high the past few years. And indeed, the ice in Antarctica, and this is something that we really do need to highlight again on this show, that the ice in Antarctica is, if anything, increasing on average. There are parts of Antarctica which do have decreasing ice, but there are other parts of Antarctica that have a vastly increased the ice thickness. And indeed, overall, the ice in Antarctica has actually increased in thickness. So that's another topic we'll be looking at today. And I'll also be returning to look at the Thai democracy protests, which are being portrayed as in the Western media, while the protesters, which number in the millions, are being shot, gunned down in the street, and having hand grenades thrown into the crowds, while they themselves are completely peaceful and are being portrayed by the Western media as anti-democratic and very dangerous. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. All this and more coming. Do stay with us.
All the talk about gun grabbing got you down? How would you like to be the proud owner of a brand new AR-15? Then go to LogosRadioNetwork.com and enter the drawing to win a free Rock River AR-15, sponsored by Zombie Killers Ammo and Guns. Support Logos Radio Network by donating just $20 to their fundraiser, and you'll get your name entered into the drawing. Second place prize is a Spikes Tactical AR-15 Lower Receiver, sponsored by CentralTexasGunWorks.com. Every $20 you donate will put your name in the hat. So increase your chances of winning by increasing your donation. Winners must be eligible to lawfully own and possess these items. Please visit LogosRadioNetwork.com for details. If you love all the liberty-minded programming on Logos Radio Network, contribute to the fundraiser and secure your chance to win a Rock River AR-15, sponsored by Zombie Killers Ammo and Guns. Like them on Facebook at Zombie Killers LLC. Contest ends February 28th.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email Michael Maris at yahoo.com.
That's ruleoflawradio.com or email MICHAELMIRRAS at yahoo.com
to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Thank you.
welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to have your company today. Check us out on the internet if you get a chance at truthnews.com.au, and you'll find podcasts going back a few years. And of course, you can also look at our Facebook page, and you can send us a message and perhaps contribute to our understanding with your own research. And if you've got any ideas for things that you'd like us to talk about or guests you would like to encourage us to bring on the show, just get in touch with us. Send me an email to editor@truthnews.com.au, and I will most certainly get back to you on that. Now, returning, as I said in the previous section, to the current Australian scene and the sort of crisis that's unfolding with the asylum seeker issue, the Prime Minister's lashing out at the ABC coverage of that and the spy scandal, which has been somewhat in the news in the last couple of days. I want to actually play to you a radio interview that was done on 2GB Radio, where the Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, talks a little bit about the asylum seeker issue and his opinion about the spy scandal revelations, which I will get into in more detail afterwards.
The ABC has admitted, apparently, their story about Navy personnel abusing boat people may not have been true. The national broadcaster and the asylum seeker claims that Navy personnel had forced people to put hands on hot engine parts. It's now been revealed an ABC journalist has been trying to find Navy sources to speak off the record because her boss feels the allegations are likely to be untrue. Now, we're talking about saving $20 million, and I'll get to the Defence Force in a moment. We could save a lot more than $20 million by reining this mob in. I'm serious about this, Prime Minister.
Yeah.
ACMA attacked myself and Alan Jones almost on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm person makes a spurious complaint against me, and they fall over themselves to investigate me. And they find against me that I didn't declare this and I didn't declare that. I'm an honest, decent person. Yet these blokes and these women get away with this on a daily basis, and no one holds them accountable.
Look, I can understand your frustration, Ray, because at times there does appear to be a double standard in large swathes of our national life, and I can understand the frustration that you feel. I want the ABC to be a straight news gathering and news reporting organisation, and a lot of people feel at the moment that the ABC instinctively takes everyone's side but Australia's.
Are you one of those people?
Well, I was very worried and concerned a few months back when the ABC seemed to delight in broadcasting allegations by a traitor, this gentleman Snowden, or this individual Snowden, who has betrayed his country and in the process has badly damaged other countries that are friends of the United States. And of course, the ABC didn't just report what he said. They took the lead in advertising what he said. And
I'll just pause it there. Now, I just want to interject. I want to really tease apart some of the issues that are being raised here, because what I feel is going on is this technique which I've seen over and over again, where politicians conflate various things that are going on and kind of join them together into a kind of an entangled web, so that you think that these strands are inextricably connected, whereas in fact they're completely separate. And some of the strands are true and correct. Others are completely false, or others are unsound, or from a moral point of view, completely repugnant. But they join it all together. So Tony Abbott has some legitimate concerns about the ABC. So do I. okay, and I've said it many times on this show, I actually believe the ABC should probably be shut down or completely restructured because of the outrageous political spin doctoring and obvious propaganda themes that run through it all the time. And from all different angles and from different governments as well. And quite often I've seen the ABC is like a front piece or a mouthpiece for government positions at different times in history. So that really does need to be looked at, and the ABC needs to be overhauled and dismantled and maybe put back together again. However, the question about the spy scandal leaks is a very, very distinct question. And when we see the ABC has covered this story, understand that the Snowden leaks were primarily about the NSA, and that he is seen by many, many noble people around the world as a great whistleblower in the likes of Daniel Ellsberg. So for Tony Abbott to casually, just so casually, call him a traitor, I find that is just utterly obnoxious. And I'm actually quite offended by it. And I'm going to say right here and now, Tony Abbott, you're a scumbag. And, you know, I wouldn't have said that last week. But I did indicate in previous shows that I was, you know, putting questions on notice in relation to the new government, that from my point of view, they're sort of on parole. We'll see how they perform. Well, looks like you're a scumbag, Tony Abbott. You know, to call Edward Snowden a traitor, to use that word when so clearly that this man, you know, there is a big debate, sure. Some people think that maybe he, you know, that it could have been done better or it could have been done differently. But so many people have come forward as well to support this man. And the Russian government, of course, offered him asylum. You can see that this is not something you casually refer to as, oh, that guy's a traitor. You only do that if you're trying to suck up to the Americans. And that clearly is what Tony Abbott is doing, sucking up. And it's disgusting. It really is unbelievable. Now, I'll get into more about the specifics of the Australian spying shortly, but let's just continue with this interview here with Tony Abbott and Ray Hadley on 2GB Radio.
They did it feverishly.
That was a deep concern, and I said so at the time. And look, you know, if there's credible evidence, the ABC, like all other news organisations, is entitled to report it. But you can't leap to be critical. You shouldn't leap to be critical of your own country, and you certainly ought to be prepared to give the Australian Navy and its hard-working personnel.
Actually, let me just pause it there again. You shouldn't leap to be critical of your own country. How dare he say that? That is completely inappropriate. Sorry. Journalists have a duty to be critical of their own country. If you're not being critical of your own country, you're not being a journalist. You might be some gossip journalist. You might be some sports writer, right? But you're not doing the job of being a watchdog on the power that is vested in the state, in the government. You're not being the fourth estate. So again, see, Tony Abbott is saying some things that are right, and then he's saying some things that are totally wrong, just twisted around to support some kind of totalitarian agenda of like, well, you know, you're not allowed to question anything, by the way. I mean, oh, everyone knows that. You know, it's your job to just do as you're told. That almost sounds like what he's saying, doesn't it? And it sort of sneaks up on you. You find with new governments, they seem great for a little while, and then suddenly they just do something like this, which demonstrates, oh no, it's the same old agenda. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
May be singing that tune, they're being outfitted with cameras to watch us while we shop. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with details after this.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
It's disturbing enough that Big Brother governments use facial recognition technology to identify and track people on the streets. Now clothing companies in Europe, Canada, and America are getting in on the act. So where do they hide the cameras? In the eyes of mannequins. That's right, those glamorous plastic ladies in the display windows may be watching you back. They're called eye seers, and their job is to log the age, gender, and race of passersby, so retailers can devise new schemes to get you to buy. But hang on, aren't mannequins spooky enough already? This is taking weird science to a whole new level. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Thought that I was doing well, but the truth to you I'll tell. MSGs and GMO really ain't the way to go. There's a better way I've seen. It's called Tangy Tangerine. And we're all drinking Tangy Tangerine. Tangy Tangerine, Tangy Tangerine. We're all drinking Tangy Tangerine, Tangy Tangerine, Tangy Tangerine.
Order Beyond Tangy Tangerine and other great longevity products at LogosRadioNetwork.com by clicking on the Tangy Tangerine banner. Sign up as a preferred customer for wholesale prices or become a distributor and support LogosRadioNetwork.com. So what do you say, Elvis?
With Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm playing to you a clip here from 2GB Radio, an interview with the Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott, addressing some issues and questions about ABC news coverage, the and the Australian spying scandal, which had been exposed by documents revealed by Edward Snowden. So let me just now continue, and then I'll give you some more commentary at the end of that.
And all the benefit of doubt.
You see, you can't have it both ways, Prime Minister, in this country. If you've got people that are referred to, and I don't object to the referral by the ABC or Fairfax, described as shock jocks, and I'm one of them, who lean a bit to the right, and we get belted over the head by ACMA, a government instrumentality on a regular basis, and they find against the broadcasting station. They can't find against me in most cases because they refer to the licence holder being the radio station that allows me to broadcast and pays me to broadcast. But then the other side of the fence, the so-called left-leaning ABC, they're left to their own devices and self-regulation. It doesn't work.
Well, again, as I said, I think that there is quite an issue of double standards, and I can't promise Ray that it's going to be fixed tomorrow.
No,
but I'm conscious of it, and as far as I'm concerned, I'll call it as I see it, and I think it dismays Australians when the national broadcaster appears to take everyone's side but our own, and I think it is a problem.
Well, let me be clear. I'm not calling for the dismantling of ACMA. There must be an organisation controlling, so you don't have a lunatic saying whatever they want to say with no basis in truth. But there's got to be some balance. You know, if they're going to contain the lunatics on this side of the ledger, the lunatics on the other side of the ledger must be answerable to someone.
And this is a very fair point, we've got all sorts of things happening which are costing more money. There was the establishment of some fact-checking entity inside the ABC a while back, and surely that should just come naturally to any media organisation.
Well, I've got two people outside that we check facts on a regular basis and make and copy it. We don't always get it right because it's impossible doing live radio or live TV to get it right. It's physically impossible all the time.
People are working under pressure, and they call journalism, you know, history's first draft, and inevitably, as we get deeper into it and we find out more, our position develops and deepens, and our understanding of what really happened increases. But again, you would like the national broadcaster to have a rigorous commitment to truth and at least some basic affection for the home team, so to speak.
Okay, let me now just pause so we can then digress to look at this question of the Australian spy scandal in more detail. This all came out late last year, and the documents that provided the information that Australian government was spying on the Indonesian government were provided by Edward Snowden. And I do actually have a report here that was from the ABC, and this is the one that Tony Abbott is criticising there in his interview, where he says that the ABC should be on our team, so to speak. And I really think that's totally inappropriate to talk about our team. My team is humanity. My team is like the people who believe in truth, the people who believe in justice, and also those who believe in the right to privacy, and that transcends all national boundaries. So, sorry, Tony, you really lost me there with your sort of team metaphor. But let me actually now play to you the report, or one of the reports that was prepared by the ABC on the information which had been leaked by Edward Snowden.
Top secret documents from Australia's electronic intelligence agency, the Defence Signals Directorate, show for the first time just how far Australian spying on Indonesia has reached. These documents show that the surveillance has gone all the way to the president. Australian intelligence monitored the phone calls of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, attempted on at least one occasion to listen into a call, and actively sought a long-term strategy to continue to monitor the president's mobile phone activity. The surveillance targets also included senior figures in his inner circle and even the president's wife, Ani Yudhoyono. On the list of targets is the vice president, the former vice president, foreign affairs spokesman, security minister and information minister. This list shows the 3G handsets they were using at the time. A number of the people on this list are now lining up as potential candidates for the presidential election to replace Yudhoyono next year. These documents were obtained jointly by The Guardian Australia and the ABC from material provided by the US National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden. Titled 3G Impact and Update, The documents appear to chart the attempts of Australian intelligence needed to keep pace with the rollout of 3G technology in Indonesia and across Southeast Asia. A number of intercept options are listed, and a recommendation is made to choose one of them to apply it to a target, in this case, the Indonesian leadership. This page shows how DSD monitored the call activity on President Yudhoyono's Nokia handset in August 2009. CDR is call data record. CDR can monitor who is called and who is calling, but not necessarily what was said. But this page shows that on at least one occasion, Australian intelligence did attempt to listen in to a conversation. Although, according to the notes on the bottom of the page, the call was less than 1 minute long and therefore didn't last long enough to be successfully tapped. Given the diplomatic furor that's already surrounded the claims that our embassy in Jakarta was involved in general spying on Indonesia, these revelations of specific and targeted surveillance activity at the highest level are sure to increase the tension with our nearest and most important neighbour.
Okay, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the meat of the story there about the Australian spying on the Indonesian government. As you can see, it is a scandalous story. It is a complete breach of international law. And it is, the ABC, in my view, is to be applauded for giving attention to that and making it a big story. I'm very critical of the ABC in many cases, and I think the ABC has failed quite often to do their job. But All I see actually happening in the posturing of the current Abbott government is that they're smacking the ABC when it actually does do the right thing, when it actually does do real journalism. And yet this is being framed to you as, oh, the ABC is terrible because they're very biased. Well, yes, the ABC is biased. We know that, right? But this is not an example of it. Right? This is not an example of ABC bias. Remember, the ABC is a big organisation. There's thousands of people in there, a lot of different programmes, a lot of different media. There's many different radio stations, there's television, there's website, digital. Different groups and individuals are doing different things, and sometimes they do leading edge investigative journalism, and thank God someone's doing it. You know, thank God they exposed that story. It's very important. But the government is just trying to put a big smoke screen over all that. And they're using this meme of, oh, the ABC is so biased, right? And they're actually appealing to many people who are often of a conservative bent, who've seen the ABC's biased presentation, for example, of subjects like climate change, and they say, yes, well, you're right, the ABC is biased. Oh, gee, they're giving attention to this whistleblower's allegations about Australians spying on Indonesia. Well, gee, that must be biased too. Well, actually, no, that was them actually doing their job. But now they're being smacked for that. Now, let me play to you a clip of the ABC defending their policies and the way they actually covered that story. And this is a video from the 3rd of December 2013.
Well, the news that Australia had monitored the phones of the Indonesian president and his wife sparked a diplomatic crisis between the two countries. The Guardian Australia and the ABC published that story in recent weeks based on documents released by former National Security Agency employee Ed Snowden.
You've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have
have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Just like Gonzalez, we're keeping our guns.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. And I'm going through some Australian political crises at the moment, some furore in the media in terms of the way in which the ABC and the government have been interacting, and I'm seeing some very odd patterns, ladies and gentlemen. I'm seeing the ABC, in this case, basically being smacked for actually doing its job, whereas previously they are actually encouraged to lie. Under the Gillard government, of course, the ABC was applauded for its continued biased portrayal of climate change, for one thing. But now we see the ABC being smacked around for actually engaging in proper investigative journalism in revealing the very important information of Edward Snowden that relates to Australia's spying on its nearest neighbour, Indonesia. So I'll just continue here from a recent interview with Mark Scott of the ABC defending the ABC's publishing of that story.
Yesterday, The Guardian Australia published another story on spying. There's been criticism from some quarters of the ABC's decision to publish that initial story. Up to now, the ABC's managing director, Mark Scott, hasn't spoken at length to the media about that decision. He joins us now. Mark Scott, welcome. That publication of that story has undoubtedly led to the damage to the relationship between Australia and Indonesia. Do you have any regrets about publishing that story?
I think it was a very important story, Joe. And if you look around the world, stories out of this big leak of NSA material have been covered in newspapers, television stations. Nearly 20 major media outlets have done it. And yes, it has caused some short-term difficulty, but we absolutely feel it was in the public interest, that it was a significant news story, and then any major media organisation would have covered that story, and the ABC should have done it as well.
Why is it in the public interest for people to know whether spying agencies have monitored the phone of the Indonesian president and his wife?
Well, I think this information is out there, and I can understand there being great regret and remorse that this information has been released, but now it is out there and in the public domain. It goes pretty centrally to the kind of information that can be collected by electronic surveillance, by spy agencies, who that information is then shared with, and then how you keep that information secure. And the debate that we're having in Australia now about that is a debate that's taking place in the United States, the United Kingdom, France, Germany, everywhere around the world. And so it's a pretty important, pretty central issue.
Everybody in the industry, though, seems to say that governments knew this was happening anyway, and the only thing that the publication of this story has led to is governments responding to public outrage over it and damaging the relationship.
Yeah, Joe, I think even the story that's running today that asks the question, well, what kind of information might be collected around citizens just going about their everyday work, phone calls and emails and the like? These are pretty important questions. It strikes me that it's easier, in a sense, to get this kind of information than ever before. But what rules should govern it? And then if this information is being collected, how do you keep it secure and who do you share it with? These are pretty important public interest questions, and this is a debate that's been triggered by the broadcasting and the publishing of these stories. And I think it's clearly a debate that the public is interested in.
What about Malcolm Turnbull's argument that the ABC has been used as a means of publication for a commercial organisation to increase the coverage of the story?
Yeah, I don't want to comment on private conversations I've had with politicians. I would say that every politician I meet has a view and a perspective on ABC stories or ABC programming. But I suppose I'd say this, that nearly 20 major media organisations around the world have published this NSA material. The Guardian came to us on that original story. We independently reported it. We checked it out. We went to our own sources around it. We thought it was absolutely a significant news story, and so we published it.
Well, I think that's probably enough to just give you the flavour of the way in which the ABC managing director there has justified what they've done, and I'm completely behind it. I mean, I think it's absolutely right that they're doing that, and moreover, it's a crime what's going on, folks. This spying on people, and isn't it incredible that it only becomes a massive story when we find out that it was the head of state or someone very important in the government in another country that was spied on? When it's just ordinary people going about their lives, gee, we hardly even hear about that. And there isn't much of an outcry about it. Well, why is that? Well, because the average person has no power. The average person has no influence. We can't stick up for ourselves. We can't make any big deal about it. We can't make a diplomatic incident over it, can we? So in order to get these crimes... Right, let me make it very clear that these are crimes being committed against people, right? In order to get them exposed, you actually have to expose the crime when it's being committed against someone who is of importance in the kind of global hierarchy. And that's either, like a high-level entertainer, maybe one of these people who have been phone-hacked by the Murdoch... regime dynasty in one of their tabloids in the UK, or indeed the governments of, say, Germany or Indonesia in this case, in exposing that that a government agency had basically spied on them and invaded their privacy and broken the law. I mean, let's just be very clear about it. I mean, if someone was across the road with a telescope spying on you and stealing your passwords in order to get into your accounts, that person, Peeping Tom, right, that guy would go to prison if he was caught, okay? It's not a... there's no ambiguity here. This is actually... a crime in most countries. But Tony Abbott reframes all that as, oh, the ABC isn't supporting our team. Anyway, enough said. It really is pathetic. And I reiterate, Tony Abbott, you are a scumbag. Now, let me continue with the rest of that interview there with 2GB, because there's a little bit more to talk about in terms of the boat people and in terms of the way in which asylum seekers are dealt with. And there's I've got a bit of ranting to do on that subject as well, which will probably take us into the second hour of today's show. But I'll just continue now with the tail end of this interview from 2GB Radio.
We move on. The Indonesian Navy has sent 3 small warships to patrol their southern waters, but not to protect them from us, but rather to finally intercept boats It appears your policies are finally working.
Well, thanks for that, Ray. And look, I'm pleased that about this development in Indonesia, because we've always been prepared to work hand in glove with the Indonesians, our friends and our neighbours, to interdict the people smuggling trade, and hopefully this will make that more likely to happen. People smuggling is against the law in Indonesia. There have been a number of successful prosecutions of people smugglers in Indonesia. We welcome that. For most of the last few years, there's been a lot of cooperation between Australian and Indonesian law enforcement authorities to try to crack down on people smuggling, and let's hope that resumes as quickly as possible.
Okay, I think that's enough from Tony Abbott. Let me now just jump in to give you my take on the asylum seeker question, which I've done many times before on this show, and I'll say it again, and I'm not the least bit hesitant in what I'm saying. The asylum seeker issue in Australia is used simply as a tactic, a populist tactic of governments of all stripes, has nothing to do with any real important issues or crises. There are very important issues about population and immigration in Australia. I do not dispute that. The asylum seeker question is a side issue. Furthermore, I have to state that I support the position of accepting asylum seekers, and there is one very, very strong reason I have for saying that, and that is when you look at the countries that these people are coming from, where do they come from? They come from Afghanistan, they come from Iraq, they come from Syria. What do these countries have in common? Oh, that's right. These are the countries that our imperial regime went into and destroyed. These are the countries that we raped and pillaged. These are the countries where we committed genocide, or through our proxies like Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, according to some, in Syria. In Iraq, it was just a more conventional war of conquest. Just go in, destroy everything, kill thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, and then just leave the country in ruins. Look at Libya. Well, that was done through proxies. A country now in ruins, but oil flowing, gushing forth that we can access. And that's been the policy of the imperial powers, to ensure that these Middle Eastern countries that are sitting on top of vast oil reserves never develop democracies, never develop a quality society, that they just continually are undermined either through installing dictators, brutal dictators that rob and abuse their people, or when truly populist leaders do emerge, then they engineer wars and topple the regime, or they just go in and kill lots of people and bomb everything like they did in Iraq. So this is where our refugees are coming from, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're one of these people that says, oh, we should push the boats back, well, I wish you go to a very dark place and rot there, if that's what you think. And you're a very sick and despicable person if that's what you think. If you listen to this show, you'll know that those people are suffering because of the regime that you pay your taxes to. So you better just show some decency and have some compassion for these people whose families you've raped and slaughtered. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back for hour two after this short break.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.